It's a time.
Can we get the show on the road?
I've been waiting for it all day.
And not a moment too soon.
Listen to talk radio.
This guy, Todd.
Monday through Friday.
5 to 7.
He's weird.
Best thing on the radio.
It's the Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
Call me now. 937-457-1290.
Locally grown, seriously funny on WHIO.
Hey. Who wants to have some fun?
I do.
Now, are you just saying you want to have fun, or do you really want to have fun?
It is the Evening Edge, Monday through Friday, 5 to 7. We made it to Friday.
Woohoo!
Anyway.
Woohoo!
There you go. Thank you. We got the live stream up and running. We're on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. If you'd like to watch, last night somebody on the live stream said watching makes the show funnier. I don't know. Maybe it's just because I'm funny looking. I always thought I had a face for radio, but, oh, William, my producer's like shaking or nodding and saying, yeah, I agree. But whatever, it's up there on the live stream for all the world to see. Tonight on the show, we have a couple of things. This is interesting. I got a message from Clinton, who is a big-time edgehead, lives up in Piqua. And he sent me a link to a story, and I thought, well, my gosh, this would be a good topic, I think. And you can either call in. I would love for you to call in, 937-457-1290. Or you can hop on my Facebook and cast your vote. I put a poll up there. On Wednesday, this past Wednesday, your governor and mine, Mike DeWine, he gave the State of the State address, which is a little redundant. State of the State. I get it, but State of the State. State of Ohio's address, maybe. I don't know. Either way. One of the elements in his speech was he was talking about cell phones in schools. And I think this could be sort of a hot button topic for many parents. He says, this is what the governor says, is that he is all in favor of the elimination of cell phone use during the school day. Absolutely zero cell phone use by students from the beginning of school to the end of school. I don't know that he goes as far and says a ban of cell phones, like you can't bring them to school. I don't think he's saying that. I don't think he's saying you have to leave them in your locker. Maybe he is. I don't know. Or leave them in your car if you're one of the few teenagers that drives. But he says that he's in favor of getting rid of cell phones in schools. You know, some cell phone rules across Ohio, they kind of vary from district to district. Some schools, they've banned cell phones. Others have not. Lots of times it's left up to the teachers whether the students can have their cell phones out in class on the desk or not. It really depends, I guess, where you might be. DeWine says school officials and teachers alike agree that phones are distracting in the classroom and negatively impact a child's mental health. When I saw that, I saw that quote or that line in the story, I thought mental health, I guess from the social media aspect of it, right? Sure. If kids are constantly looking at their Instagram or their TikTok or whatever, you know, whatever the hot platform is now for teenagers, I guess that could be certainly taxing on their mental health, of course. But putting that aside, I don't know if just having a cell phone is going to make you experience mental health issues. Maybe. I'm not a doctor. Currently, there's no statewide restriction on cell phone use in Ohio, but a representative from Centerville has submitted a bill that would prohibit the use of cell phones during class with medical and instructional exceptions. Obviously medical, I guess. If you have some sort of medical issue, you're a teenager and you have a medical issue, maybe having your cell phone with you could be life saving, especially if you have to call 911 or somebody near you has to call 911. Or maybe you have an app on your phone that keeps track of, you know, some sort of biometric reading on your body. I don't know. Instructional exceptions. I don't know what that would be. Calculator on your phone, maybe. Or maybe there's a video that the teacher wants everybody to pull up. I'm not sure. I know some schools have iPads and, you know, classes are conducted and discussions are, you know, take place through different things on an iPad. So I'm just curious what people think about this. I think it might also be very generational. I think older folks, and I would throw myself into that that bundle. I'm 54. My son didn't have a cell phone, I think, until he was in high school. But again, you know, this was a long time ago, and cell phones, well, not that long ago. I mean, maybe 10, 12 years ago. But cell phones at that time were not smartphones like they are now. I mean, maybe the very, very early iPhones, but most kids just had a regular cell phone that you could play Centipede on, and that was it. At least that was my son's experience. So I'm sort of thinking, well, I didn't have a cell phone growing up. If I needed to call my parents, I just went to either the payphone in the main lobby, or I went to the office and said, "Hey, I need to call my my mom and let her know that I wet myself, and she needs to bring me some dry clothes." They got tired of me in the senior office calling all the time. They just said, "You can't come in here anymore." No, I'm kidding. But you know my point. You would go to the office, and if the parent had to get a message to their student or their child, they would call the school and say, "Hey, I need to give a message to my child that, you know, the doctor's appointment was canceled. I'm not picking you up today," or whatever it is. But I also think, though, that younger generations, maybe, you know, parents who are in their 30s, maybe early 40s, who've spent, or even 20s for that matter, who've spent most of their life with a cell phone in their hand, maybe they would think differently. You know, the other thing I was thinking about is how often we hear of situations at schools, and unfortunately, lots of times they're school shootings, and kids are calling their parents or kids are calling the police, and they're trying to get help or they're trying to let them know what's going on, whatever the case might be. You know, we didn't have that luxury when I was in school, but then again, we didn't have the number of incidents at school like we have now. So I don't know that you can make that comparison, because I've made that comparison before. It's like, well, I didn't have to, you know, if we didn't have cell phones, everything seemed fine. Well, you know, we weren't having school shootings every week in this country. So I don't know. Maybe parents feel differently about it. Also, I think kids are much more busier now in their lives than I was and other maybe older generations. You know, I played one sport at a time. Maybe I was involved in scouts, but that was about it. You know, I talk to parents now who have kids in high school and they're playing sports, they're taking music lessons, they're taking dance, they're taking tutoring, they're, you know, they've got jobs, some of them. You know, they have a lot of stuff going on, and it would be nice for parents to be able to reach their kids and vice versa without having to go through, you know, somebody at the school's office or whatever it might be. I put this up there on my Facebook page, the poll, asking if you support this idea of banning, essentially, you know, banning cell phones from school during the day. And I'm surprised. 70% say yes. And I, you know, I don't know what the ages are of these people, but again, I wonder if this falls down, you know, kind of in a generational sort of gap or difference. The other thing that I was thinking about with this is that if they're going to ban cell phones in schools for kids, what about teachers? Because, you know, many teachers are active on social media. And I would imagine that there might be times during the day in a classroom where if students are taking a test or students are quietly working on an assignment or they're reading or whatever, you know, they're supposed to be doing in the classroom, that the teacher probably, you know, I'll open that drawer, pull out the phone, you know, check my Tinder, check my messages, how are things, you know, whatever it is. Should they also be barred from using cell phones? Because that could be just as much of a distraction for them as it is the kids. I think you could make that argument. So I'd be curious to know what your thoughts are on that. 937-457-1290. The other big controversy, I wouldn't really call it a controversy, but I know that a lot of folks who listen to this show, because it's come up on the show before, enjoy the Wheel of Fortune. Now, the Wheel of Fortune, of course, has been on for, 100 years? And Pat Sajak has been the host the whole time. He's finally retiring. And I saw that he recorded his last show earlier this week, and I think it's going to be on sometime in June, if I'm not mistaken. But there was there's a controversy brewing about a puzzle that was featured on Wednesday night's show. And a lot of people online are upset about this, and I'd be curious to get your take on this as well. The woman who made it to the bonus round, she had a chance of winning $100,000. I guess she, I don't know, whatever the deal is now, she could win $100,000. And everybody's watched the show at some point, they give you the category of what the puzzle is, right? They don't obviously give you the letters. They give you the category. So you start thinking about that. So when they say place, you start thinking of different places, whether it could be a city or a specific location, whatever it might be. Well, she didn't get the puzzle right. The answer was gravel walkway. And people were losing their minds on social media and blasting Wheel of Fortune, arguing that a gravel walkway is not a place, that it's a thing. And I've never really thought about that. It's like the categories that they give you, you start thinking, your mind goes in one direction. Is a gravel walkway a place or a thing? Because to me, it's a thing. And that seems a little shady. Seems a little shady. If they tell you it's one category, and then it's maybe something else. Isn't that shady? I think it might be.
It's the Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
Call Todd now, 937-457-1290, or message him at Evening Edge Todd.
Locally grown, seriously funny on WHIO.
Get a load of this guy.
The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
Call Todd now, 937-457-1290, or message him at Evening Edge Todd.
Locally grown, seriously funny on WHIO.
Back here on The Evening Edge, Monday through Friday, 5 to 7. 937-457-1290. I thought we'd get calls about the cell phone issue, but we do have a call about the Wheel of Fortune. Hey, Sherry and Lima. What's up, Sherry?
Hi. So I've been watching Jeopardy since it was born.
How about
10 years before Pat and Dana.
You mean Wheel of Fortune. But, you just said Jeopardy.
Wheel of Fortune, yes. Yeah. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Wheel of Fortune. Yes. And also, the thing category has always been varied. It could be a state, a city, your backyard, the Grand Canyon. And the way I look at it is, if you say, build me a walkway, you're asking for a thing.
Right.
If you say, meet me at the walkway, you're telling them a location or a place.
Well, that makes sense. That makes sense. But the answer was gravel walkway.
Yeah.
So to me, that's a thing, right?
The place is the walkway. But it could be seen anyway. It's your personal interpretation.
Yeah, I know. But that just seems shady when you're playing a game show. You know, people rely on clues like that to sort of be somewhat consistent, not a little tricky.
Yeah, but it's always been that way. And yeah. That's what makes it a game. That's what keeps you guessing.
I suppose.
I suppose.
All right, Sherry. I appreciate your call.
All right.
Have
Bye-bye.
A good one. Yep. That line's open, 937-457-1290.
It's the Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
Call Todd now, 937-457-1290, or message him at Evening Edge Todd.
Locally grown, seriously funny on WHIO.
Don't hesitate to call.
You call me.
You better call me.
Damn it, get me a phone.
Call me on my radio.
I'm gonna call you.
You got him on the radio?
You won't make a simple phone call?
What is wrong with you?
It's the Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
Call me at 457-1290.
Locally grown, seriously funny on WHIO.
Back here on the Evening Edge, Monday through Friday, 5 to 7. We got the Facebook and YouTube and Twitch live stream up and running. You've got about 6.5 hours to register to win one of the few remaining I Got Moon with the Evening Edge t-shirts from our Big Eclipse show on Monday. We've got a handful left, and the registration ends tonight at midnight. Go to WHIO.com, click on the little hamburger menu, go to Radio Contest, and you'll find it there, or more simply, just go to my Facebook page, and you'll find it there pinned to the top. Joining me on the phone now, I have a guest. I don't normally have guests, and I normally don't have authors on, but I've got an author by the name of Mark Bohack. Now, Mark, how you doing?
All right, Todd, how you doing?
I'm doing well. So Mark contacted me, I think it was last year, like late last year. And the reason that I made the exception, Mark, just for you, to have an author on the show is because Mark is originally from Centerville, and he's written this book about growing up in the Dayton area during the 80s. And I thought, now, wait a second, I can connect with this because I grew up in the Dayton area during the 80s. And I want to get his perspective on this. Plus, he's got a book signing tomorrow at Harrigan's in Kettering. So, Mark, why don't first of all, how you doing? I'm glad you're on the show, finally. It's been many months in the making.
Well, thanks for having me on, Todd. Yeah, I came into town yesterday, and I'm hanging out with all my friends, many of whom I've got characters that are based on them in the book. So you can imagine it was a pretty fun reunion last night.
Sure. So tell us, let's see, the name of the book, A Bullet in the Head and an Arrow Through the Heart.
That's correct.
Now, that is an interesting title for a book about growing up in Dayton in the 80s. Why don't you give us some background on that?
Sure, on the title itself. Well, my grandfather, crusty old guy, way back when, rest his soul, he said that a man should be shot in the head when he turns 25 years old, because his best years are behind him.
Wow.
And,
wow.
You know, you can look at it that way.
I guess you could.
Yeah, the hero in the book, actually me, that, you know, my memoir is kind of based on, a novel based on a memoir.
Mm-hmm.
This central character is, he's figuratively shot in the head early on in a relationship. You know, he thinks it's the end of the world.
But
the moral of the story here is, if you soldier on through it with the help of great friendships, you know, surrounding you, that you're going to get, you're going to get hit again. You're going to get shot again, but you're going to get a shot of an arrow through the heart. It's going to be nothing but good memories when you look back. And that's kind of what the book is based on. It's a coming-of-age story.
Right.
It's a study of the behavior of young men through their relationships with women and their enduring friendship with one another. So it's kind of a coming-of-age late story.
Right, right.
But it's set in a world right here in Dayton, largely of, you know, the bar scene in the 1980s. Those of you out there who remember that, who went through that, places like Harrigan's, where much of the story takes place.
Ah, so that
Barfly.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
A world of distance runners, psychics, tattoo artists, hillbillies, pit bulls, road trippers.
Wow.
And of course, there's a love relationship in there too. A love gone wrong relationship. So it's kind of like a love letter. In fact, the subtitle of the book is a love letter to the 1980s. But it's a love letter to friendship and to love itself. And it's told in equal parts comedy and melancholy.
Well, that's very interesting. Now, in your book, I mean, what are some of the, you mentioned a couple of the bars, but, you know, other locations, different things that take place in Dayton, how is that sort of weaved into your story?
Well, it's, when you read the book, so much of it is based in Centerville, mm-hmm. in Kettering. You're going to see the street names. You're going to see the bars, the restaurants, the schools. All of this is mentioned. I went to the University of Dayton, and a lot of it takes place at the University of Dayton as well. And a lot of it, though, Todd, I have to say, it's kind of the connecting tissue through all of these locations and everything are the visits we make to the bars.
Sure, and, I get that. I understand that, yeah.
The adventures we go through.
Wow.
And it's a common man's story. The main character is waiting for something big to happen that never really does. And he's waiting. He feels he needs to suffer more before he can do writing. He wants to be a writer. But he's out of a job. He's out of time. He's losing his girlfriend, you know, that he thinks is everything. He's a mess.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he sets out on this journey to discover the things that matter.
Well, a lot of us are a mess.
Where his buddies.
A lot of us are a mess, for sure. You know, and we're just doing the best
we
can.
Yeah,
yeah, for sure, for sure. All right. Well, that sounds very interesting. Now, tell me about the book signing tomorrow. I mean, it's great that you're actually able to hold the book signing in a location that plays a prominent part in your story. What time is your book signing tomorrow?
The book signing at Harrigan's on Marshall Road there in Kettering is at 5 p.m. It goes from 5 to 8 p.m. and then they have a live band afterwards, so that should be fun too. Now, the interesting thing about this book signing, it's not just me sitting there at a table signing books. It's the main characters of the book, my friends, you know, that these main characters are based around. They're going to sign the books as well.
Now, did you get any pushback from your friends about including them in your story? Were the names changed to protect the guilty or anything like that?
Of course they were. Of course. It's a novel based on a memoir. Let's remember that. Novel based on a memoir. So some of it's embellished, some of it's changed, some of it's pure fiction.
Right.
But it's, you know, a connecting story. But no, I've had nothing but support. We're all excited for it. I like to look at this as I'm representing all of us and our time together, our friendship.
Sure, sure. And, that's a great gift to give them. You know?
It is.
Yeah.
I hope it is. And I think they see it that way. And we're all kind of rallying around it.
Well, that's great. All right. Well, Mark Bohack, I appreciate you calling the show and telling us about your book. And look, go out and see him tomorrow, 5 to 8 at Harrigan's. I've been to Harrigan's a number of times. It's been a while, but that's a pretty cool place to go. I dig it.
Yeah.
All right, Mark. Yeah. Well, good luck with your book, and thanks for calling.
Well, thank you, Todd.
Take care. There you go, Mark Bohack. And the book again, A Bullet in the Head, An Arrow Through the Heart. That's pretty interesting. 937-457-1290. We got Terry in Springfield. Hey, Terry, what's up?
Hey, Todd, love your show.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. I have a neighbor next door who is a school teacher.
Okay.
Kindergarten. Her daughter is a type 1 diabetic. She wears all them things that diabetics wear.
Sure.
But anyway, I'm for the teachers having a cell phone because her daughter, whenever she needs something, you know, it alerts her mother's phone and her dad's phone, or dad's phone.
Oh, okay. So they get some sort of alert that says,
yes, sir.
There's some sort of issue. And they need to give their daughter immediate attention.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, I understand, you know, a teacher having it, and maybe, you know, the restriction would be, sure, have the phone in case there's an emergency, but no scrolling Facebook,
you know, right.
Or Instagram or whatever.
But, you know, as long as the teachers use it professionally.
Right. Right.
You know, I don't have a problem with that. But yeah. Anyway, I just wanted to give you my 2 cents.
Well, I appreciate your 2 cents, Terry. Have a good weekend. Clinton in Piqua. Hey, Clinton.
Hey, Todd, how are you, sir?
I'm well. What's going on with you tonight?
So the book that's based around Centerville, I'm actually picked that up because I went to high school in Centerville. So the cell phone issue, when I sent you that, I thought about it. And cell phone usage, especially when text messaging, was in its infancy when I was in high school.
Right.
I graduated from Centerville High School in 2007. So Centerville High School's had cell phone usage in school banned ever since I was in high school. And guess what we still did?
Use your cell phones.
Yep, every day.
Yeah.
There's a will, there's a way. So for me, this is not really an enforceable thing. There's already schools out there that already have it, and guess what?
Right, yeah.
They still use the phones.
Yeah, I think sometimes these types of issues are brought up by politicians just to sort of, I don't know, not incite, but just sort of, it's one of those things that they can get behind and make a big deal out of, but really ultimately isn't going to have much impact on anybody. But for some reason, people can become emotional about it. You know what I mean?
I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. And
yeah.
Frankly, if I felt it was an enforceable thing and it would actually make a difference, I'd be all for it because, quite frankly, I'm with you. I don't think these kids need to be on social media during the school day. I don't think they need to be texting their friends during the school day. But unfortunately, I believe it's where there's a will, there's a way. That's still going to happen.
Yeah, I got you. All right, Clinton, I appreciate your call, buddy, and thanks for the topic idea. Take care. 937-457-1290.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special bulletin.
I don't know if you saw this. Many people who watch this show are going to be shocked. Shocked. The Golden Bachelor, Jerry Turner, and his wife of 3 months that he left or met on that show, The Golden Bachelor, they've announced that they are getting divorced. Who could have seen this coming? Who could have seen this coming? A reality show connection broken after only 3 months. Apparently, the couple was on Good Morning America today and announced the shocking news to a reporter by the name of Juju Chang. Really, I just did this story because I liked the name Juju Chang, and I wanted to say Juju Chang as many times as I could. They told Juju Chang, that they've had a number of heart-to-heart conversations, looked closely at their situation, their living situation, and came to the conclusion it was probably time for them to dissolve their marriage. And I saw the video of this, and Juju Chang seemed really disappointed. So there you go. If you were a fan of The Golden Bachelor and The Golden Wedding, get ready for the golden divorce.
What am I listening to now?
What is this?
The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
It's a radio show. It's entertainment.
Fill it up, punk.
T-O.
Double D.
H.
Oh.
Double L.
S-T. I can remember that.
Locally grown, seriously funny.
I'm puzzled by the whole thing.
On WHIO.
guy was smart, sophisticated, professional. I mean, really, really great.
The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
Call Todd now, 937-457-1290, or message him at Evening Edge Todd.
Locally grown, seriously funny on WHIO.
Back here on the Evening Edge, Monday through Friday, 5 to 7. Big shout out to Edgehead Kelly. That is Liam's mom. Liam is the official, unofficial mascot of the Evening Edge. She just commented. This is so sweet. We talked about that book box that got robbed the other day there in Riverside. She dropped off 3 bags of books today so they could replenish their book box. That's sweet. 937-457-1290. I saw the oddest thing coming into the station yesterday, and I didn't get a chance to talk about this last night. And I don't know if this is a thing. I asked my wife, and she wasn't sure. She'd never done it. We were driving down Patterson, and there was a young woman, I think she was by whatever that coffee shop is. It's right next to the Old Scratch Pizza. I forget what that's called. I've been there, but I don't remember what the name of it is. But either way, she had the trunk of her car open, okay? And it was raining. And she was trying to stick the umbrella into the trunk, but the umbrella was still open. And it was a good size umbrella. And I said to Mary, because we were stopped at the stoplight, I said, are you seeing that? Why is she trying to stick an open umbrella in her trunk? Now, when I've come in from the rain here at the building, and if I have an umbrella, I will often close the umbrella, bring it inside, and open it up and leave it, you know, in the lobby down by the guard's desk so it dries off. I don't want the water all over the place. But I said, is that a thing? Like, do people dry their umbrella off in the trunk of their car and drive? I've never seen that before. I mean, I know opening, they say, an umbrella inside is bad luck, but I don't know if there's a saying about opening it and putting it in a trunk. I know it sounds ridiculous, but I couldn't understand why she was doing that. The other thought I had was maybe she couldn't close it. Like there was a problem. She couldn't figure out how to close it. I've been stymied by an umbrella before.
What am I listening to now?
What is this?
The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
It's a radio show. It's entertainment.
Fill it up.
T-O-D-D-H-O-L-L-S-T.
I can remember that.
Locally grown, seriously funny.
I'm puzzled by the whole thing.
On WHIO.
And now the moment we've been waiting for is here.
Hey, I'm here for the big show.
This guy, Todd. Did he make you laugh?
He's funny.
Yeah, he's amusing sometimes.
It's kind of a big show.
Okay, boys, hit it.
It's The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
Call me now, 937-457-1290.
Locally grown, seriously funny on WHIO.
It is the Evening Edge, Monday through Friday, 5 to 7. Got the live stream up and running. Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. Got about 30 people watching right now. That's pretty good for a Friday night. Last night, at one point, I think we had over 40. Maybe we can get to 50. You know, a lot of people who've been watching and listening for a while remember that I made the promise that if we eclipsed 100 viewers on the live stream one night, I would take my shirt off. And sadly, I don't know if it was sadly. Happily, we didn't make it. For some people, maybe it was sad. But we fell short by about, 7 or 8. But anyway. You can also email me. We have email coming up, mail call, at eveningedgetodd@gmail.com. Or you can send me a message on social media at eveningedgetodd. So every year this list comes out, and I always enjoy bringing it up because I, like many of you, have pets. I love my pets. We have Luna, who is very shy, doesn't like to show off. And then there's Lily. This is Lily. She's a big show off. But admittedly, they don't have very creative names. Luna and Lily. There's a lot of Lunas and Lilies in the world. And they candidly are named after a couple of characters in Harry Potter. My wife is a big Harry Potter fan, and they're named after those characters. But every year, Nationwide Insurance, they do this contest where they try to come up, they try to find the wackiest pet names in America. And I love going through these lists because I wonder, these folks that name their animals these unusual names, if when the dog does something naughty or the cat or whatever, there's also an exotic pet category that they have some strange names. Like, you know, when if Luna or Lily does something in the house and they you know, get into the toilet paper or they get into, you know, headphones or they get into underwear, whatever it is, you know, usually it's a very quick, Lily, stop it, that kind of thing. But what if your dog's name is One Love Tiny Dancer Princess? It's a mouthful, right? Well, Nationwide, they've come up with they found a bunch of wacky names, and they've narrowed the finalists down. And I thought I would go through these. And if you happen to have, and I want to invite you, if you have a wacky pet name, by all means, I want to hear it, and see how it compares to some of these. So, dog finalists. These are the dog finalists. We've got Boots with the Fur, Chug Chug Pickles, Little Richard Simmons Sweating to the Oldies, Lord Waddles, Lulu the Conqueror, Molly from Corporate, Mr. Pizza Puff, the aforementioned One Love Tiny Dancer Princess, Margaret Rose Windsor, Team the Bandit, and the News. So those are the wackiest dog names on the list. They're kind of interesting. I actually, like, as much as I know there were people that would think I would choose the Richard Simmons one because of my my history with Richard Simmons, I'm not. I like Molly from Corporate. That's a good one. Now, here are the cat names. The cat names that are up for wackiest cat names. We have Balsamic Vin. Not vinegar, Vin. Car Alarm. Itty Bitty Committee. Or, I'm sorry, Itty Bitty Kitty Committee. Now, I like that one, but that, too, would be a mouthful. Meownays, Minerva Meowganagal. See, from Harry Potter, yeah. Now, this one, I don't know what it is. Necronomicat. Necronomicat? That's stupid. Samsung Family Hub Refrigerator. That's my favorite. And I saw a picture about the size of a refrigerator, that cat. Skull Crusher. I like this one, Steph Puri. Steph Puri. And then the last one on the list of finalists, Tony Scarface Baloney. Yeah. I like Samsung Family Hub Refrigerator. That's my pick. Now we get to the exotic animal list. And this one is a bunny. His name is, or I guess it, her, I don't know, Beezlebun. There's a ferret named Boo Boo Bean. Somebody in Ohio is on the finalist list with their snake called Boo Noodle. Is that right? Boop noodle. Boop noodle. There's a guinea pig named Cow Pig. A lizard named Frosted Mini Wheats. A macaw named Magic Nugget. My favorite is this tortoise. It's from Texas. And the name of the tortoise is Midsize Sedan. Somebody in North Carolina has a ferret named Mumbo Jumbo. A Florida man, I'm guessing, has a pig named Snoop Hoggy Hog. That's quality. I like that. And then a rabbit. Thor, Odin Bun, God of Bunder. People are creative, I'll tell you. We got some people on the live stream. We've got Jackie says her cat's name is Karen Elizabeth. I like that. Just Karen Elizabeth, get in here. There's CeCe Bloom. That's a good one. I can't say that one. Can't say that one, Josh. Sorry. But if you've got a crazy pet name that you want to share, by all means, 937-457-1290. We've got some mail.
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for mail call.
Message for you, son.
You should see a fan mail.
You got a message.
I got your ladder.
Amazing what you can accomplish by mail.
Congratulations, Skippy. You've got mail.
By the way, if we have time, just after 6:30, I'm going to introduce a new feature called Be Careful Where You Stick That. So be listening for that. If you'd like to email me, again, the email is eveningedgetodd@gmail.com. Hey, Todd, I have an idiot of the week for you. Okay, let's hit our idiot open
you
here.
You are a stupid, stupid idiot.
Comes from upbringing. Parents are probably idiots, too.
Idiot, imbecile, pig.
Wake up, idiot.
Silly dilly dopio. I'm an idiot.
Yeah, that's true.
I have an idiot of the week for you. I saw that on Monday, a woman on the TV show The View commented that she believed that earthquakes, cicadas, and the eclipse may be caused by climate change or possibly God. I usually don't pay attention to what these talking heads say, but this woman is supposedly a lawyer. You'd think that someone with a law degree would have some understanding of science. What an idiot. Carrie in Beaver Creek. I don't watch The View. The few times that I've seen it, they make my head hurt. So I don't pay much attention to anybody on there. I know there's that Whoopi's on there and Joy Behar. Is that her name? But those are the only two people I know. But they've been on it forever. But the woman that that Carrie in Beaver Creek is talking about is someone by the name of Sunny Hostin. I've never heard of her. But apparently she's an attorney and a TV host on that show. And here's the clip. This is funny.
We've got a solar eclipse. We've got the earthquake.
Down the hallway.
And then also I learned that the cicadas are coming.
Cicadas.
First of all, cicadas? Is music artist John Cicada going to be emerging from 3 feet under the ground? Cicadas?
Cicadas for the first time in many, many years.
No, every 17 years this happens.
Well, that's not what I read, but maybe, you know better. All those things together would maybe lead one to believe that, you know, either climate change exists or something is really going on.
Oh, wow. That is something else. The climate change or God somehow has caused the cicadas to emerge every 17 years, or in her mind, the first time in thousands of years. And the eclipse, we've had a billion plus eclipses. We have. And of course, the earthquakes, which clearly not climate change. Wow. There's some bright people. Hey, Todd, don't know if you fish, but I thought you'd like to see this. This girl caught this fish in the Ohio River, Dennis in Springfield. I don't fish, but this is crazy. I'm going to try to share this. 15-year-old girl from New Richmond pulled a 101-pound catfish out of a, it says, backwaters of the Ohio River on Sunday. Man, that is a lot of catfish there. I'll see if I can find the story and share it, because if you're a fisherman or a fisher gal, you might want to check it out.
It's The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
Call Todd now, 937-457-1290, or message him at Evening Edge Todd.
Locally grown, seriously funny on WHIO.
You gotta tune in, man. You gotta tune in.
The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
Call Todd now, 937-457-1290, or message him at Evening Edge Todd.
Locally grown, seriously funny on WHIO.
Back here on The Evening Edge, Monday through Friday, 5 to 7. You still have about 5.5 hours to register to win one of the few remaining I Got Moon with the Evening Edge t-shirts from our Big Eclipse show on Monday. The registration ends at midnight tonight, and you can register on my Facebook page. There's a link that will take you to the registration page, or you can go to WHIO.com, click on the hamburger menu, scroll down or, you know, zip down to where it says Radio Contests and click on that page, and you can find it that way. It's much easier, to go to my Facebook page. And then give me a follow while you're there. I'd appreciate that. 937-457-1290. John in Urbana. Hey, John.
How are you?
I'm doing well. You got a wacky animal name?
Well, yeah, I got a turtle I found walking across my driveway and figured I'd keep him so that he didn't get killed or run over. And I decided I'd call him Mitch McTurtle.
Mitch McTurtle. I like that. It's easy to, it kind of rolls off your tongue. There's some alliteration there. Not
well,
bad.
Well, and it's also in honor of a certain senator that they call the turtle.
Ah, okay. Well, that makes sense. He's about ready to crawl back into a shell, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, John, I appreciate it. Thank you. That line's open, 937-457-1290. We have some Breaking the Law news.
Breaking the Law.
I bring this up because my wife actually witnessed this. She witnessed an arrest the other day at the Burger King down on Brown Street. Now, here's the thing that makes this, it's not funny, but it's entertaining to me only because the guy that got arrested, apparently he went to the Burger King. And let's see, his name is Donald Cahal. He's 20 years old. He went in there early in the day asking for free food. He wanted free food, and he told the manager on duty that he should be given free food because, ready for this? He's a social media influencer. And she said, get the hell out of here. So he stormed off, but he came back later. And this time he ripped off his shirt, went into the store, started demanding free food again, but then he became violent and attacked the manager on duty. Well, the cops were called, they showed up, and they arrested the guy. And my wife saw that. She was like, I saw somebody get arrested at the Burger King. What's that about? And I'm like, well, I'm surprised you didn't notice or recognize him. He's a big-time social media influencer. Man, oh, man. But, yeah, he was arrested, and his picture's on WHIO.com.
What am I listening to now?
What is this?
The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
It's a radio show. It's entertainment.
Fill it up, punk.
T-O.
Double D.
H.
Oh.
Double L.
S-T. I can remember that.
Locally grown, seriously funny.
I'm puzzled by the whole thing.
On WHIO.
Don't give me that politics jazz. It's not my racket.
People are tired of hearing nothing but doom and despair on the radio.
Everyone just relax, all right?
The problems of the world are not in my department.
Now who would like a cookie?
It's The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
Call me at 457-1290.
Locally grown, seriously funny on WHIO.
Back here on The Evening Edge, Monday through Friday, 5 to 7. Did you have a bad day at work today? How does it compare to this? There's a woman in Kansas, Leavenworth, Kansas. I've been there, by the way. I didn't do time there. I was visiting somebody. They weren't doing time either at the military jail. There's a woman in Leavenworth who works at a bakery called Sis of Sweets Cookies and Cafe. And she's asking customers to eat their cookies carefully because somewhere in the cookie dough is a $4,000 diamond from her ring. Ooh. That sucks, man. Holy cow. I mean, there's always the chance that somebody's going to see it or maybe bite into it, break a tooth, then you get sued, but you'll get your diamond back, right? Or they won't notice it, and it gets flushed away. But that's a bad day for sure. 937-457-1290. Robin and Gratis, what's going on, Robin?
Hey, I just wanted to say something about the guy who found the turtle.
Yeah, I know where you're going with this. I wouldn't have kept it as a pet. You kind of got to let them go their way, you know?
Yeah, you're supposed to help them across the road,
right,
the direction they were going. It's illegal to take them. It's kind of kidnapping of a turtle. Nobody wants to live in a tank.
Turtle napping.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I almost said something, but I just figured I'll just move on. You know, I didn't want to get into a debate over it.
Person.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. All right, Robin. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yep.
Have a good one. That line's open, 937-457-1290. All right, so we're going to give this a try. This is a new feature. And every once in a while, I'll get a story about somebody who, for some reason, decides to put something in an orifice of theirs. Lots of times, it's a kid, right? Lots of times, it's a little kid. I mean, I had to go to the ER when I was little to have peas removed from my nose. I had to have a caramel wrapper removed from my ear. You know, it's kids do stupid things, but so do adults. So do adults. So I got another one of these stories, and then I found a couple more. So this is a new feature that will come up from time to time called Be Careful Where You Stick That.
Be careful where you stick that.
What's in your mouth?
Got a coin in your ear.
It's stuck.
I think I'm safe. It's wasting their pretty time.
Better watch where you stick that.
It's going to hurt.
It's deep in there. We got to get you to a hospital.
So a 14-year-old California teenager had to be hospitalized after swallowing a quarter. A mouth is an orifice. You don't put money in there. I also did that. It was a dime. I think it was a dime. That's what my mom says. It was either a dime or a nickel. And for weeks and weeks and weeks, they were searching. You know what I mean. The unnamed 14-year-old reported to the hospital complaining of hoarseness and swallowing problems, 6 hours after accidentally consuming a 25-cent piece. Doctors were perplexed as the human piggy bank didn't display any breathing problems normally associated with ingesting coins. I mean, that could get caught in your esophagus, and then it causes you to struggle to breathe. Hoping to get to the root of the issue, they x-rayed his chest, which showed the quarter was situated vertically in the subglottis. That is the area between the vocal cords and the trachea. Maybe that's what I meant. I didn't mean esophagus. I meant trachea. which allowed air to pass through despite causing him discomfort. And they show a picture of it, and it looks like he was putting a quarter into a slot, and it's just stuck right there in the middle. The boy was fortunate, since in most cases of accidental aspiration, foreign objects lodge themselves in the trachea or other parts of the throat and potentially jeopardize the patient's breathing. Doctors put the boy under general anesthesia and removed the quarter. That allowed him to allowed them to extract the coin with a flexible forceps and removed it with minimal damage. Now here's the question. Does he get to keep the quarter, or would he want to keep the quarter? I think a 14-year-old probably would. I mean, a 14-year-old, you know, your middle school, junior high, high school, I'm guessing they don't have show and tell in class, you know. But boy, oh boy, at the lunchroom, guess where this quarter was? According to Harvard Health, coins are the most inedible objects swallowed by children, accounting for more than 60% of cases in which children sought medical care after aspirating a foreign object. So coins, that's where all the money's going. Kids are eating it. Here's a story. This is, again, and I don't know that this guy stuck this there, but explain to me how this happened otherwise. A Vietnamese man had a live eel surgically removed from his abdomen, and doctors believe it slid up his rear. The stomach turning discovery was made when an unidentified 34-year-old man went to the Heha District Medical Center in Quang Ninh Province with severe abdominal pain this past March. Doctors believe the sea creature entered the man's body through his rear and slid through into his colon. Now, how does that accidentally happen? Can anybody explain that? How does that accidentally happen? The eel was found after doctors performed an ultrasound, an X-ray, which showed a foreign object was inside the man's digestive tract. The eel caused intestinal perforations and a condition that, or peritonitis, a condition that causes inflammation in the stomach or abdomen. The man was kept in the hospital after the surgery and reported having mild abdominal pain after waking up. And then our third one. A man from Taiwan, 56-year-old man, had surgery to remove a coconut. The constipated 56-year-old man, who wasn't identified, waited 2 days before seeking medical attention. Writing in the British Journal of Surgery, medics claimed that he had been unable to relieve himself and complained of severe abdominal pain. Upon examination, scans showed the fruit was lodged in his rear, compressing his urethra and preventing him from peeing. The coconut measured 9 centimeters in length. Coconut. A coconut. We have a Florida man story. Oh,
Florida man shines with every single crime. Stupefying and delicious. Some might even think fictitious. Florida man is always ambitious.
Like the kid in the corner. Quarter, did he keep the coconut? Souvenir? Put it up there on the mantle? For posterity? Florida man, Winter Springs, Florida man, 73-year-old guy was taken to jail after he allegedly pulled a knife on a kid who was riding his bicycle on the sidewalk. This past Monday, cops responded to a disturbance about a man who was waving a military-style knife at the child. Cops spoke to the kid at his house, told him he was riding his bike home. When the man stopped him, became angry. He was riding on the sidewalk and not the bike lane. I don't know how old the kid is. I will say, and not that I would ever, you know, draw a knife or a gun or anything like that on a kid, I would say that if it was a teenager riding on the sidewalk and there is clearly a bike lane, I'd be like, just ride in the bike lane. You're old enough to know how bike laws are, right? I mean, you should be able to handle that at a certain age. If this is like a little kid, who cares? Cops said the child was visibly scared and apologized to the man and then rode his bike home. Cops went to the location and found the man, who admitted to his actions but told him, and this is why this is a great Florida man story, 73-year-old guy, who, by the way, was also carrying a gun, which, fine, you're allowed to do that. But he had the knife, and he waved the knife at the kid. He told police he did it because the child on the bike put his life in danger. The man's life was in danger because of a little kid on a bike. He was arrested, charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. Cops said he was armed. Yeah. He said that the child reportedly was reportedly riding the bike right at me. Wow, these kids on bikes, man. You got to look out for them.
What am I listening to now?
What is this?
The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
It's a radio show. It's entertainment.
Fill it up, punk.
T-O-D-D-H-O-L-L-S-T.
I can remember that.
Locally grown, seriously funny.
I'm puzzled by the whole thing.
On WHIO.
Well, he has quite the reputation.
The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
Call Todd now, 937-457-1290, or message him at Evening Edge Todd.
Locally grown, seriously funny. On WHIO.
Back here on The Evening Edge, Monday through Friday, 5 to 7. A couple of weeks ago, I had a story about a guy out at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas. William, I don't know if you were working this night, particular night, but here's the story. The guy won three major jackpots in 3 hours. Were you working that night? Probably not. No. On this particular night, he won $125,000 on a slot machine. Then an hour later, won $383,500 on a slot machine. And then just after midnight, won $159,250 on a slot machine. Three huge, huge slot wins. And you would think, well, that's just, how does that even happen? How does that happen? Well, unbelievable run of luck, right? Why am I bringing it up again? Last Thursday... The same guy in the same casino placed a $2,500 bet on a spin and won $692,500. So he wins three big jackpots on slots one night, and then a week later hits another for $692,500. He brought home over $1 million, of course, before taxes, in just a couple of weeks playing slots. That is unbelievable. I don't think I've ever won anything on a slot machine. I mean, ultimately. It's like you put in a... I remember going on a cruise and they were quarter slots. And I'd take a roll of quarters and I'd just play the quarters. You know, at some point I had like $50, but I didn't walk away. Oh, no. You gotta let it ride. And I let it ride. And it rolled right back into the casino's vault. Have a terrific weekend. I'll be back on Monday just after 5. Don't forget, you can get the podcast of this show at eveningedgetodd.com and all your favorite podcast platforms. And you've got until midnight tonight to register to win that I Got Moon with the Evening Edge t-shirt. You can find the link on my Facebook page at Evening Edge Todd. Have a terrific night.
Jackson. I'm out of ideas.
He's done. It's over. He's finished.
Sorry, buddy. Show's over.
Say goodnight to the bad guy.
Now give me a kiss and say goodnight.
Good riddance, you loony.
This is the station Dayton turns to first for live team coverage of breaking news. WHIO Dayton Springfield. Your news starts now. Depend on it.